Hello and welcome back to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. I want to welcome you if you've been listening along for a while. Thanks for tuning in. I pray that these messages are encouraging you and strengthening you. We teach verse by verse because we believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for the battles that we face today and those that we will face tomorrow. We encourage you to come by the Wash and Word. It's the hand car wash business that we have in Churchill on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. There you can get your car washed. And while you're there, tune the radio to 107.1 FM. And you can hear these messages being played on a loop throughout the open business hours. Also join us at washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to all the archived messages along with getting all the information about this business and this ministry. As we continue now in our verse-by-verse teaching, we are in the book of the Gospel of John. We are in chapter 8, and Jesus has began to thin out the crowd. He would speak to large audiences, and as they thinned out, he would up the ante in terms of his teaching and his truths, and he would draw lines in the sand, and each time the crowd would thin a little more, but some would continue, and they would remain, and the Lord would challenge them even more. And this is the pattern that we have in our lives today. Every time we carry on in the Lord and we grow a little bit, he wants to raise us a little bit higher, and he does this for our benefit and for the benefit of our witness. Because you see, Christian, if we become stronger in the Lord, if we become more spiritual in our walk, and we walk in the Spirit, and we worship in spirit and truth, and as we enter into the already preordained works that God has given to us, then we become a light to the world, and this is how we carry the gospel to a dying world. So look at verse 42. We're going to go ahead and pick it up there. He's speaking prior to this. He was speaking to some Jews, and even though they believed in him, they took that step. They're still holding on to the fact that they are Jews, that they are Abraham's, you know, descendants, and that Abraham is their father. And you know, and their last statement was, "We are not illegitimate children." They protested, "The only father we have is God Himself." And now we look at Jesus' reply, verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, then you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." And now here it comes. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says, and the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Wow, pretty harsh words Jesus had for them. A quick review of chapter 8 brings an interesting pattern. In verse 13, they questioned the validity of his testimony. In verse 19, they questioned who his father was. In verse 25, they questioned who he was. All of these are offensive. They are questions that come at him in an offensive nature, an offensive attack. And one by one, Jesus shot down each argument. And then they found themselves in a defensive position as they progressed through this chapter. And at verse 32, they switched to a defensive position, saying, "Well, we're Abraham's ancestors," they said in a proud voice. And in verse 39, they even went as far as to say, "He is our father." And then in verse 41, they took it one step further and said, "God is our father." So they went from an offensive attack to, "Who are you? What do you think you're doing?" And as Jesus shot them down one by one, they went on to the defensive. "Well, we're Abraham's descendants, and God is our father, and the law is our righteousness," etc., etc. And with every statement Jesus made, they went from attacking Jesus to defending themselves. And every time Jesus spoke those words, it sent them scurrying for a new defense. you know, every it's like they were just grasping at something. Well, but we're his descendants. Well, no, Jesus would shoot that down, and they'd be like, well, he is our father. And Jesus would shoot that time, and, you know, both times, Jesus showed that they had a desire to kill him, which completely disproved what they were putting their faith in. And so now they get back in the corner, and their words are, well, God is our father. That's their final defense. And Jesus goes on, and he says, Oh, you're gonna end with God as your father? Well, you got me there. Jesus says, I've got nothing to retort back. Of course, that's not true. Jesus goes on and he says, really? You're gonna go with that? Because if God were your father, you would love me. In fact, he goes on, let me tell you who your real father is. And then he goes on to insult him, as we just read. But let's get honest. Because that's what we do when we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We're forced to be honest with ourselves. Did this strike a chord with you? Does this strike a chord? Does it sound familiar? Because when you were a child of the devil, didn't you do the same thing? If you didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't you attack the credentials of Christ when somebody tried to tell you about him? Oh yeah, he's just a man. He's just a good teacher, but he's not a savior or anything. You know, who does he think he? I don't need Jesus. I can get to God my own way. Nobody needs religion. You know, we had all these ways of attacking his credentials. Doesn't that sound a little bit familiar? But of course, when that nonsense fails, we then shifted to the defensive mode. And we began to say, well, I'm a good person. I don't do this, and I do this, and I give to these people. Heck, I even pray. I even go to church once a week, and I even read my Bible. Or I was raised Catholic or Methodist or whatever ancestral laurel we decide to rest on. Does that sound familiar? I mean, that's exactly what they were doing. First they attack him, then they go on the defenses. That's us. It's just a picture of us. Well, someone might say, God is the father of everyone. We're all God's children. Do you love that one? Have you ever said that one? Do you not realize the theological false doctrine that is in that one statement that has warped what God was actually saying? When next time you hear somebody say, we are all God's children, or prayerfully, I hope I'm not speaking to you, but next time you think about saying that statement, I direct your attention to John 1:12. Jesus says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So when we go on the defensive saying, oh, God is the father of all of everyone, you know, it's not true. To those who believed in Christ, he gave the right to become children of God. It isn't until we are done trying to discredit Jesus and trying to elevate ourselves that we find ourselves up against that wall where we have a decision to make. And friends, I've brought this up many times because I believe this is the question you will have to answer when you stand before a holy God one day and you stand at that judgment seat. God is going to look you dead in the eye and say, who did you say Jesus was? And by the end of this chapter, the quote, Jews who believed, these ones who decided, oh, I'm going to put my faith in him. But remember, faith alone isn't enough. It is knowing truth. These same Jews are ready to stone him. You see, God, even now, even at this time in history that we're here in the gospel, he was already separating his church. He was already trying to separate the true believers from the ones who were there for wrong motives. And today, he is winnowing out the church. even now. And if you are not firmly rooted in the truth of God's word, all of his word, you will be swept away by false, deceptive, 90% truth lies. That's what I call them. Because the deceptive doctrines that are out there, they're not coming at you double barrels shooting false teaching at you. No, they're bringing a bunch of stuff that sounds good and might even be doctrinally true in an imbalanced kind of way. And then they just creep in a little bit of lie until you're no longer able to decipher it. Luke 18:8 says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" God is looking for faith on earth right now. God is separating his church. And I want to be known as a preacher who tells about the love of God and the mercy and the provision of God and how he can't stop thinking about you. I want to be the kind of preacher that is known that he tells people that God wants to bless you and that God wants to prosper you. I want to be that guy. I want to tell you that God has a table full of blessings just waiting to pour them out into your life and that you should be seeking your best life now. But I'm starting to realize who I am. And if that is what you're seeking in Christ, then these teachings aren't the place to find it. Because I'm the one who's going to preach those things, yes. But listen, the closer we draw to Christ, the more lines we are going to cross over. And then the closer we become to him, the more we realize that the separation of true believers from those that are just playing church, it's getting wider and wider. And before we even read any more, I want to share something with you. I have often sat before the Lord and I've asked him, you know, as I prepare these messages and as I really search my heart, I keep finding myself going back to this dividing line that I see taking place even in the church today. It's as if a lot of what I believe and what I teach ends up back at this dividing of true Christians, warriors, as it were, to those who are just kind of playing church. And I it happens so much. I find myself talking about this dividing and this separation so often that I had to ask God one time recently, like, you know, what is wrong with me? Like, what, you know, why do I always end up here? Why does this, where my, a lot of my messages end up? I mean, is there something wrong with me? Is there an imbalance maybe in my preaching and in my mental preparation? I focus so much on being prepared to stand your ground and to stand for truth. I focus so much on standing firm and preaching the entirety of God's word. And I talk so much about being on guard from falsehood and false teaching and false teachers. When I asked God this one day, he showed me in my spirit. He said to just be who I made you to be and go where I told you to go and say what I told you to say. And man, when God just laid that on my heart, it settled everything. Look, I'm sorry that you're not going to hear a whole lot about lollipops and kittens in these teachings. God called me not to talk about lollipops and kittens, though scripture dictates I will at times. But God has called me to talk about the stick that is shoved into a lollipop. And he has called me to talk about the dirty litter box that cute little kittens will create. Because really the body needs both. I'm learning that we need the dirty parts and we need the good parts. And that is what a balanced verse by verse Bible teaching will give you. It'll give you the love and the mercy and the kindness of God. And it'll also give you the challenges and the hard stuff, the sin. And it'll talk about the judgment. And it'll talk about the things you don't want to hear. But guess what? You need to hear them. Because if there's something in the Bible that you don't want to hear, chances are it's exactly what God needs you to hear. Well, join me again tomorrow if you dare. I know these are hard teachings, but you'll be blessed for them, as I am to deliver them. Have a blessed day.